We're going to look at two passages, two separate but similar passages in Scripture. I don't know how this is going to come across. I hope I can articulate it. That's part of my problem, is trying to articulate things. But this is from my heart, and it seemed to affect me somewhat, so I hope it will affect you as well. Let's turn first to the first passage in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse 24. Matthew 10, verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple, the believer, that he be as his master, Christ, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you, this is Christ speaking, in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, soul, and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. What comfort is that? But the very hairs of your head are all number. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, Christ began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed, preached upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him, fear God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear God, fear him. And then he gives us illustrations, kind of like Matthew chapter 12. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So in these two texts, kind of, it's not necessarily the theme, but it is. These two texts, we have the thought of preaching the word and the persecution that will follow. As he says, you know, in verse 28, he said, and fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and hell. But he says in verse 27, preach ye upon the housetop. So speak the truth. Speak the truth of Christ and him crucified. Speak the truth of man's total depravity. The three R's. Speak ruin by the fall, redemption by the blood, and regeneration by the Spirit. Speak those things. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be tried. And in our passage in Luke, in verse 13, he says, I got that wrong there too. Oh, I'm sorry, verses 1 and 3. In the meantime, they were gathered an innumerable multitude of people, and Christ began to speak, to preach. And then he said in verse 3, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. He's speaking of the proclaiming the gospel. And as is normally the case with our Lord, he tells his people not to fear. You're not going to be above me. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We don't like persecution. We don't like trouble. That's why we talk about the weather more than we talk about Christ. That's why we talk about things that we are interested in more than the one we love. You know, Bruce is constantly saying, we speak of the one we love. Do we? Do I? We, that's all included. It's easy it's easier not to say anything. But I think this way, wouldn't that person that I'm withholding the truth, wouldn't they be a precious brother or sister? Wouldn't they be better for us than against us? The world is against us. But wouldn't it be better if they, your neighbor down the street, the person you run with, the person you ride with, the person I play with, you know, guitar, all these different things that we do, these extracurricular things we do, wouldn't it be better if these folks were for us and not against us? Well, you're not going to know if you just don't say anything. Now, Tim James made a comment a long time ago, sheep beget sheep. You tell? And I, Linda and I, we've wrestled this, and I've wrestled with this, and I've talked to some other pastors, and they're, you know, they have their opinions, but a lot of us think that putting this stuff out on social media, sermon audio and all that, doesn't do much, if anything, really, really. Bruce Crabtree made a comment. He's told me, he said, seems like the people who are close to the proximity of the church, they're the ones that make good members. They come, they're here. But when you start having to drive for miles and miles and miles, I never thought about that. But I really wonder how good social media, and I know I could hear Henry saying we need to take all the means, every means possible, and I understand that, but and I'm not saying we need to hide the gospel, for our gospel be hid to them that are lost. But just to give you an example, I've had about 264 people or more see our boosted ad of our conference. And this time, more than any other time, I've gotten ridiculous comments, mean comments, and people laughing. So I just go in there and I delete them. I can delete them being the moderator. But how harmless is that? Announcing we're having a conference to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Over 200 people have replied. Thumbs up. Where will they? Will they be here? This have they ever been here? I wonder how good it is. But don't despise the day of small things. It costs a little bit, so I put these out. So here in Matthew, in our text in Matthew chapter 10, he uses the word fear not several times. This phrase is often used throughout the whole of the scriptures. And if he uses it so often, we must need to be assured of this exhortation. Because we have the fear of man, we have the fear of insulting people, and all these different things. But again, if we speak the truth in love, the responsibility is on their side. It's on them. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Genesis, just to name a few, all these are filled with the comforting and high language as we tell fellow sinners how God saves and can save and be just in doing so. This is the gospel. It's never popular. It never has been popular. This gospel is all of grace. There's no works on our part, which Bruce read in John chapter 1. It's not if they keep it in context, it's obvious. Man, you will not come to me that you may have life. It's all of grace. This gospel is never attributed to our works, our worth, or our will. This gospel, it always brings ultimate glory to God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we talked to men talk about back there. That's why Paul said, we preach not ourselves. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. We talk about experiences that we've had when we ought to be speaking of Christ. It's very easy to do. Telling men, women, and boys and girls that they cannot work or even earn their way to glory is insulting. It's insulting. And, you know, we have to bring counselors to school to make sure that the children are okay. This gospel knows no political correctness, and I do not apologize for not being politically correct. I won't be. And neither should anybody that's behind this pulpit. If it offends, in some things, Paul says, we offend all. And I would say that that's the gospel. Rightly spoken, in truth, in love. Now, I know the gospel can be used like a battering ram, and I've done it. And you make people mad, and that's not. But even Paul, when he was in prison in Philippians, he said, nevertheless, I rejoice Christ is preached. Their attitude, their conduct wasn't proper. He said, they do it, they preached it, supposing to add to my bonds. And being mean. That's not the right attitude. But we teach and preach Christ must and has satisfied all things against us by the sacrifice of his person on Calvary's tree. But I want to look further into this passage because there's something in here that I'd never seen before, and I want to share it with you. It's comforting if you're in this passage. We've already heard, fear not, the persecution that's going to arise because of the gospel, whether it's your mom or your dad or your parents. I think about my family and ask God he would do something almost daily. I pray for your children. You pray for me. That I speak the words as they need to be spoken. And I think this will help if you fit this category. So we've seen the story about the sparrows. Now look with me again quickly at Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what he says. Listen how he phrases this. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for one farthing? That's verse 29 in Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. This is comforting when we go through anything. Fear not, therefore, you are of more values than many sparrows. He's talking two sparrows worth one farthing. Now, what is a farthing? Well, I thought I had it written down here, but I had it written down on my other notes that I was. A farthing is a tenth, is a Roman coinage. It's a tenth of a penny. A farthing is a tenth, We have a penny. That's as low as we go. That's as low as America goes on money. A farthing is 1/10. If you're in the decimals, it's 0.10 of a penny. Okay, two sparrows. Now turn with me to Luke, and we'll stay here. Luke. I want us to see this as well. I want to draw our attention to Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Now remember, this is preaching the gospel and the persecution that's going to arise, preaching the truth in love, being concerned for your neighbors, your family, your friends, those who do not know Christ. God's going to protect us. He's going to protect us like he protects these sparrows. Okay, look at verse 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Okay, you had in Matthew, you had 2 sparrows, a farthing, 1 for 2. This one you got 5 for 2 farthings. There's two. You got an odd sparrow. He's not even worth 1/10. It'd be, what, 1/20? You see my point? And he compares us to sparrows. That's what I want to get at. We are nothing in our own eyes. And the quicker we realize that, I'd say that God may do something with us. He may do something with you. He may do something with this church. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? 2 sparrows for a farthing in Matthew. In Luke, 5 sparrows for 2 farthings. So we see an odd sparrow thrown in the mix, in the equation, so to speak. This is God's math. This isn't our math. This is God's math. It's an odd one, this sparrow, numerically. But also, if God reveals this to you and to me, grace in the heart, we're this sparrow. Spiritually, characteristically, odd by account of sin, we're that odd sparrow. On account of the truth, we're a sparrow. Not even 1/10 of a penny, 1/20. And what is a lowly old sparrow worth? Now, those of us here that have bird feeders, I bet the most prized bird you want to see is a sparrow, right? No, not at all. Humanly speaking, this sparrow is worth nothing. Ornithologically, they're unimpressive. When you put out a feeder, these sparrows are often overlooked. They're almost a pest species. We want to see the showy ones. We want to see the bluebirds, the cardinals, and the blue jays. That's what we want to see, something impressive. What of us here today? The scripture says there's none good, no, not one. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, 1 Corinthians 1. God has chosen the sparrows of the world. That's what we are. We're sparrows. Oh, Benjamin Franklin, he wanted to make the turkey the national bird. But the turkey's so ugly, we need something a little more regal. So we went with the bald eagle. I'm glad we did. It's better to be seen and known and felt to be a worthless old odd sparrow than all the glitter and gold this world has. You can be all you want to be. But in this world, it isn't much. It isn't much. We won't hear such truth as this as it is in Christ in this world. This world, I'll tell you what this world will do. It'll build you up. It'll pamper you. It'll feed us unholy food. And then leave us at the very gates of hell. That's what this world will do. If you follow this world, if you're ambitious, if you want to do all these things that the world says good people do, nice people do, church people do, it's unholy food because it's self. It's not the sparrow. It's not this bird that's only worth 1/20th of a penny. Brethren, let us not be deceived. Let us not be mocked. For what is it worth? Be an old sparrow, or that is, be lowly, of a humble mind. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Yes, he resists the proud. May we take our place at the feet of our sovereign. May we bow to his rights and his claims over us, and therefore be at peace and have great hope. I just still remember that picture of that old man. Everybody's got one, or I've seen one, or you can get one. Picture of the old man. He's at the old wooden table, and he's leaning over that with bread and water, and he's giving thanks. And then I remembered somebody said, bread and water and Christ too? We got to have all this other this stuff. And it's not, I'm not saying sell everything you got and bring it to the church and just live. No, live your life. But live it under the auspice, under the watchful eye of he who is righteous, he who is just, he who desires to hear from us. I was thinking, reading again the other day, one of these writers, we don't go to him enough. He desires to hear our voice. There's nothing too big, too small, 1/20th of a penny. And he takes note of these sparrows. He takes note of these, and he says, are you not worth more? Yes, yes, indeed. The very hairs of our head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than these many sparrows. More value. Well, let's put a financial 1/20th of a penny. How insulting. But now if we look at both texts together, we see the reward or the comfort that we have, and that is that we are of more value than even these worthless sparrows. In and of ourselves, we can see it, Genesis through Revelation, in and of ourselves, we're not worth anything. But in under the blood, and given what Christ has done, what he's done to his only begotten Son, for his sheep, for his sparrows, as lowly and as nothing and less than nothing as these feathered creatures are, each child of grace is worth or held in higher, in the highest esteem in the eyes of God. So yes, children, you're nothing, but in Christ, everything. Everything. Again, what's the world say? Don't listen to the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the world. You, if you are a believer this morning, if you desire to be a believer this morning, if you desire to confess Christ, and worship him and follow him. You are protected by sovereignty. You are protected by divine providence and Holy Spirit enabling. You are guarded. You are surrounded by omnipotence, majestic power, kingly decrees, and royal mandate. That's what we have. For anything to reach us sparrow types, for anything to reach you, it must go through the will and protection of our preeminently regal watchman. It's got to do that. It cannot come directly at us. Satan, he's got to ask permission. So I just step back and say, what an amazing thing this salvation by grace through Christ is. There's nothing like it. There's no religion like it. There's no God like our God. There's no gospel like our gospel. There's no Christ. There's no Holy Spirit like the ones we serve. There's nothing like this being kept by the power of God, by the accomplishments of our elder brother Christ. There's nothing like it. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. That's why Moses could say to his Deuteronomy, can you remember his relation? I'll just say it that way. Come with us. We will do you good. We will do you good. Now, we can't provide unlimited money. We can't provide unlimited resources. We can't provide the things that the world counts dear. But the older you get, the more you'll see the world's not it. It's just not, it's not there. It's like a politician's promise. Promise, 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 promise. And if you do get success, if you do get wealth and prosperity and all these things, what does it gain a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? He said, that's who you need to be afraid of. But have you Christ here this morning? Have you tasted that he is gracious? Live your life. He cares for you. And he will not. It may be cancer. Death's coming. Death is coming. It's going to hit everybody unless the Lord returns. We're not spared a lot of these things. But in these things, we can have peace that passes all understanding. We, the tenth or 20th part of a penny, are dear and precious in his sight, for he sent his only son to bleed and suffer and die upon the accursed tree for his church, for his elect, for his remnant. I want to close with an article. Now, I'm not going to be politically correct, but that's okay. This is written in the early 1800s, mid-1800s. And listen to the whole thing, because I read half of it, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. Let's read the whole thing. Keep it in context. A poor, half-witted man. Okay, that's somebody who's probably not educated, slow, whatever you want to say. I'm just going to read the article. A poor, half-witted man was asked by his minister, his pastor, how he came to be saved. And this is what he said. It was between me and God. Makes sense. God did his part and I did the other. Wait a minute. Listen. Don't judge. Well, said the minister, which was a good question, what part did you do? And this is what he said. God saved me. And I stood in his way. God saved me and I stood in his way. Wasn't that the hymn we just sang in the course booklet? I've long rebelled. I've long resisted. These are the words, you know, this was what Sam, the gentleman that wrote that hymn. That's what he was saying. And so I read that. I'm like, okay, we're on the same page. This is what Mr. Spurgeon said about this comment. This is the part I must confess in which I was most conspicuous. I was very stubborn and willful and put from me the invitations of the Lord's love. I willed to remain a rebel, but he would not have it so. Did I not resist his spirit? Did I not put from me his gospel? Did I not resolve to abide in my own self-righteousness and continue as I was? But he, this one who loves the sparrows, loves us more than the sparrows. But he would not suffer to be so. And at last I was compelled to cry, I yield to the all-conquering grace of God and bless the hand that sweetly bows me to its mighty sway. Isn't that what we talked about back there? Romans, conquering. Now, I know we like to think God, you know, does this and that. There, you tell me who among us, other than after we were made willing, which he dealt with that, we're not rebels. We would not have him to reign over us. That's our nature. So let's just own up to that. And by God's grace, you realize we're kicking against the pricks. Wasn't Paul? Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he doing that, kicking all the way? Yes, we do. But then there's a day of grace, a day of reckoning, a day of salvation, a day of when you realize I'm not worth a 20th of a penny. And then you see God's led and fed the whole way. You see, God cares for you through Christ. You want to, you desire to worship him, you desire to serve him, you desire to be baptized and follow him and love him and worship him. Amazing lessons that an odd sparrow can teach us. There's a lot we can learn. I pray God would teach us, and we would. Bruce, would you close us?